Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Program. I'm Susan Masika. Swiss architects enjoy a sophisticated culture of building design. They draw on a collaborative process to make expert use of favored materials like wood and concrete. Their best works are bold yet understated to fit in with and reflect the natural beauty of Switzerland. These are just a few of the things we learned from Anna Ross, the author of a new book about Swiss architecture. Swiss Info journalist John Heilprin tells us more.
Anna Ross has written a meticulous book entitled Swiss Sensibility, The Culture of Architecture in Switzerland. The 256-page hardcover gives a richly illustrated account of how a small nation produces so much fine architecture. She's been raising a family for close to two decades in the Swiss capital, where she teaches art and writes for architecture journals based in Britain, the Netherlands, South Korea, and Switzerland. So what led a South African-born architect, teacher, and writer, who studied in London and lived and worked in Paris and Frankfurt, to become an authority on Swiss architecture?
From an outsider's perspective, coming here, I was, over time, became very aware of how important and how integral architecture is in the society. And not only are architects interested in architecture, but just people in general have a great knowledge. The sheer number of architects and traveling around the country, seeing the number of beautifully built buildings. I was interested to explore the reasons why this is as it is here and what factors are brought together to allow this level and high standard of architecture to be built.
Something that really comes through is how Switzerland's small creative architectural practices are backed by a strong education system, high-quality craftsmanship, and open competitions that encourage young talent.
Students who come out of architecture school already have a very good notion of what it is to build a building. And then, as opposed to having a big sort of class divide between craftspeople or labourers on site, these are actually highly skilled people that are highly regarded and paid well. So I think because clients regard architecture and good buildings as being an asset, they are willing to go the extra mile and pay the extra buck to get something of quality. And they tend to have the resources financially in order to, because of course it requires resources and Switzerland has those resources. Yeah, so the apprenticeship system here, which is so well established, creates this pool of people who are specialized in their sort of niche, whether it be laying stones or concrete work. And then there are also these professional organizations like SEA, which is the Society of Engineers and Architects, and the BSA, which is the Federation of Swiss architects. They clearly define the role of architects so there's no kind of vagueness. I think often in other countries, architects have to kind of fight their corner and fight, you know, for what their fees mean, whereas here it's clearly set up and structured.
Another thing that is clear from the book is how Swiss architects have developed such creative confidence in artistry. The book focuses on 25 buildings, everything from a guest house to a bird viewing tower to a temporary base camp on the Matterhorn for climbers that were designed by 15 influential Swiss architectural practices. And it is interesting how an outsider's perspective seems to help tell the story.
Why wasn't this book already written? And did it rely on an outsider's perspective to pull it off?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I went to the bookshop on our local bookshop on Saturday, and the lady at the bookshop, whom I've known for many years, said that so many people over the years have been asking her for a book on Swiss architecture, and she sees that there really is a niche for this book, and I was quite astounded. There are so many architecture books out there, but I think this is kind of a curatorship in a way, so it's kind of bringing it together in a certain light. And I think that as a foreigner, you come in and you see things that perhaps if you hear, it's kind of in your face, you don't realize it, coupled with the fact that Swiss people tend to be quite humble, perhaps. You know, boasting here is very frowned upon in any way. So I think it's perhaps not coincidental that a foreigner has come in and looked at this phenomenon and been interested to explore it.
So what did you discover? What is the Swiss sensibility? What is the culture of architecture in Switzerland?
Well, it's this ability to show the innate qualities of material for the innate quality itself, and to put these together in a certain way, and to put them together in a way that keeps the weather out, that looks clean and concise and is beautifully built by the people who put them together. The very strong relationship to the landscape, that is, of course, even in cities, say like Basel, where you're not really in the Alps, I think it's a subliminal relationship because the landscape is always very close at hand if you travel across the country. As I've done a lot for this book, viewing buildings, interviewing people, one never tires of the beauty that one sees. And I think it's such a lovely backdrop in which to build are these craggy, high, snowy mountains. And then, of course, you've got the lakes and the rivers. So that's a very inspiring for people designing here, I guess. So it's this, yeah, this sensibility to the landscape, the sensibility as well to the richness of architectural heritage here. If you go to Ballenberg Museum, which is an outdoor museum showcasing traditional architecture in Switzerland near to Brienz, you really, one is astounded by the amazing richness and variety of local architecture, very different one to the other. The Swiss Chalet is just here in the Berner Oberland, but if you go to the Italian part, Ticino, you the amazing slate and rock buildings. Modern architecture will then often juxtapose that with off-shutter concrete. Very bold.
The Swiss have excelled at architecture for centuries. They were among the leading figures during the Italian Renaissance. The most famous 20th century Swiss architect is Le Corbusier. More recently, Peter Zumthor helped put Swiss architecture on the world map. He won the 2009 Pritzker Prize, the world's most prestigious architecture award, and Britain's 2013 Royal Gold Medal. His most recent is the 2017 Association of German Architects Grand Prize for Lifetime Achievement. Central to the book is an interview with Zumthor at his home in Haldenstein, in eastern Switzerland. He talks about how, after a building boom in the 1960s and 70s, it was necessary to rebuild the reputation of the architect by showing responsibility toward the environment and respect for the past. He compares his work process to being a conductor and composer with a big orchestra.
He is a prime example of the integrity, and he talks about his authorship, the fact that he's able to build these buildings. Many architects say, yeah, but that's him. He's in this amazingly privileged position. He sees himself as kind of a conductor of an orchestra, but he is a high taskmaster, and he won't let go of his design again from the first drawing right through to the end. So it was clear that he would have to be represented in this book clearly. And then his region where he lives, Graubünden, has got also an amazing richness of architecture. Lots of these buildings have been published in many journals. So to Swiss architects, certainly a lot of these buildings will be very, very familiar.
Not every Swiss building is aesthetically pleasing. Urban eyesores do exist. But while working on her book, Rose said she encountered architectural critics who used the term Swiss as a synonym for good design. When I asked her what she thinks really distinguishes the Swiss architects, she praised their ability to show the innate qualities of the materials they work with, and to do it in a way that is functional, clean, and beautifully built. Here's more.
Their integrity and their passion for the discipline, the way that they use materials, the way their confidence, their interest in working with artists, for instance, I find very interesting. So, for instance, the building on the campus in Basel, the facade is like a watercolor, like a clay watercolor. And to try and, you know, you could imagine a sketch, a very sort of watery sketch of that facade. And they've managed to then, with the help of an artist, Fedeler, I think his name is, recreate that three-dimensionally. That's amazing, that ambition. It's a huge ambition and an interest in and a curiosity. Herzog de Meuron, for instance, are very curious wherever they build. And of course, they build throughout the world. They go and find out about what it is particular to that place. And then they play, sort of playfulness as well.
And how do they marry the old and the new so well, that in a way that is not cliche and is not, it seems to, I'm amazed at the seamlessness of the marriage of time, of traditions of buildings that are centuries old, and yet there's a cutting-edge 21st century state-of-the-art feeling to parts of them, or all of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, again, this heritage of architecture, I think it's there is a regard for that. So architects today defer to that work and won't just destroy it to build something new. There's a deference, I would say, to what's happened before, so that they, or to the environment in which it sits. But then that deference doesn't mean that it needs to be a copy or pastiche and a rehashing of kind of old typologies. So then if you've got the self-confidence to do something very avant-garde, perhaps, or in strong contrast, then it can one play off against the other. So the old and the new both become very exciting, as sort of almost like a frisson.
Can you show me some parts of the book and show me some of your favorite examples?
For instance, yeah, difficult to choose. Perhaps this bird tower by Gian Acaminada.
Tell me what we're looking at.
We are looking at a very, a tower with a spiral stair in the middle. Four baskets, almost like air balloon baskets, popping out from above. So you spiral your way up this building and then you look out at the landscape. It's a bird hide in effect. And he's used a number of tree trunks that have been debarked by hand by local foresters. Here is a good example showing how the sort of rational structure of the building and the artistic marriage of various materials, wood, and then this woven effect, almost like a nest the ceiling is, creates a very strong piece of architecture. He says, throughout the book I have, because I thought it would be interesting not only to show the architects working in their environments, you'll see that each architect has photographs of them working, but also some of their words. So a quote that Gian Caminada has is, "A clever design generally combines a rationality and emotionality, that is, intellect and feeling." And I think that epitomizes really this notion of something that's structurally sound, but is also poetic, that touches the feelings and your emotions as well. And that's what I try and bring out in the texts. And when I write about architecture, what does it make you feel? What is the atmosphere like? This is paging more to the front, Milan Mirante.
And it looks like a natural part of this stunning alpine setting.
Yes, it's not like a sore thumb. It's something that enhances the landscape around it. Milan Mirante, also a wonderful practice, and they've done some amazing buildings. And their quote is, "Tradition doesn't mean preserving the ashes, but rather keeping the fires burning." And isn't that a poetic way of putting it, you know, regarding what was there before, but keeping this trajectory moving forwards? You know, we're here, we're now, we're 21st century. And this building on the Gotthard Pass, which they've renovated, is also a perfect example of the marriage of old and new, with this amazing precision timber work in the interiors and this huge kind of monolith roof against this craggy backdrop. Very amazing, beautiful.
That was architecture specialist Anna Rose talking with journalist John Halprin. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for a range of articles, galleries, and videos about Swiss architecture. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technicians Dani Wieler and Jakob Stoller. I'm Susan Masika.